I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. I would like to welcome today Dr. Aldo Drago, who's from the Physical Oceanography Unit at the IOI Malta Operational Centre. Dr. Drago is going to tell us something about the centre itself, the operational centre, and about the important research networks in which he and the centre are involved. Welcome, Dr. Drago.
Thank you.
The Physical Oceanography Unit, could you give us just a little bit of background about it?
Well, the Physical Oceanography Unit, in the first place, we must say it's an entity within the university. It is hosted within the centre which I direct. It's the International Ocean Institute Malta Operational Centre. It forms part of a network of other similar centres. But within it, we have the Physical Oceanography Unit, which is sort of an entity on its own, which is the research arm for physical oceanography in Malta. So we do all the research that concerns the study of the sea from the physical point of view, which means measuring sea temperatures, measuring sea currents, measuring waves, and not just measuring, but also studying, also making data available to users so that what we study and what we acquire is made available for the use of different applications and for various added value activities. So the unit, besides doing research, focuses a lot on making data available for specific applications, various, which we will have time to speak about during this short interview. But basically, this activity is coined operational oceanography, and it's a relatively new activity. But actually, in reality, man has been doing oceanography, that is studying the sea, with an intention, with a purpose, since the old ages, when man was looking for fish, man was looking for new marine spaces, for new oceans.
So
we've always needed to know, but with the intention of getting something out of the oceans. Of the more you know about the system, the more you can make use of its resources in an intelligent way, of course. And this is basically what operational oceanography means. Of course, technology has evolved a lot, and the technology we have today permits us to observe the sea in detail. Of course, not to the extent that we would like, because one important message is that the sea is more difficult to observe than the atmosphere, for example, because the variability, the scale in the sea is 100 times smaller than that in the atmosphere. So if you have a perturbation in the atmosphere, which has a certain extent, in the sea, the same kind of patterns are much smaller, which means that you have to observe in more detail, in higher density in space, to be able. And then one also needs to observe the evolution of a system. So making observations in the sea is not that easy. But technology, as I said, has evolved a lot, and especially in the last 15-20 years, there have been great leaps in the use of new technologies. And today, for example, we are speaking of systems which are manned even from the office, in the sense that you have an automated vehicle which can move in the sea, and you send the instrument to the position where you need to make measurements. We also speak about systems which are interconnected and networked to measure together, and which can measure information and send it right at the time of measurement. This is what is called real-time observations, which means making the observations, but viewing the observations on the spot while they are measured. And this, of course, brings a big leap in both the quality and acquisition of data, but also in the usefulness of data. Because if you just measure one point in a highly variable environment such as the sea, and instead even using satellites. This is not just in situ measurements. It's not just by sensors put in the sea, but even remotely by, for example, satellite platforms. This has opened the way to observing the sea in a more holistic way and in a more synoptic viewing. And this permits, of course, the greater value of the data and much, much more useful applications.
I'm looking at the list of things you deal with within oceanography, meteorology, hydrography, hydrodynamics. These are all areas of great expertise. How do we manage to sort of cope? I know that obviously yourself, you will have your own particular area of expertise, but how do we cope in Malta with sort of discovering or monitoring all these various areas?
Well, let me say that although we as Malta have a big role even regionally in the Mediterranean, I must say that it is through my activity that MedGUS, for example, MedGUS is a network of research institutions in all the Mediterranean countries who are striving together to put up an observing and forecasting system in the Mediterranean. So although we have this leading role even internationally, but yet nationally, we are still lacking our national systems. I mean, I'm not putting a lot of blame on this, because indeed, even in the other Mediterranean countries, many of the other countries are behind us. I mean, the only countries who have really evolved into doing the real thing, the real network, the instrumentations and the observing systems, are mainly Greece and Spain, where the governments have pumped a lot of money.
Is there a particular reason that those two countries would have?
For the Spanish reason was the boost they had after the oil spill incidents that they had in the recent years. And that boosted the governments. They realized that they did not have the tools available to combat and to plan intervention, you know, in such a case of hazards from oil pollution. And they realized that they need to have such observations and such networks and forecasting systems in order to be able to combat and to plan a decent intervention and avoid a lot of damages, even economical damages. And this is one aspect where operational oceanography is useful. So there were reasons. And then there are also countries like France, but France is more interested on the Atlantic side, and Italy, although in their uncoordinated sort of fashion. But that's it. The other countries are all lagging behind. What we are doing is that through common projects, and we are the Maltese entity who really participate in these kind of pan-European and pan-Mediterranean activities, we're trying to do bits and pieces to supplement what governments do not supply in, to supplement the support that the governments do not supply directly. But in reality, these projects should all be considered as a stepping stone. In the long term, we need to have a durable and sustained system which is supported nationally. Okay, there may be some regional and international backbone to support, but at the end, all these networks have to be supported directly by the national systems. And this is where we have to still work a lot hard. Of course, the Physical Oceanography Unit has been pioneering this. And if you visit our website, I would like to mention and promote our website. You go to www.capemalta.net, capemalta.net. And there you will find a one-stop web page leading you to various other components of the web facilities that we have, and leading you to the various services and the various data acquisitions that we run operationally. When I say operationally, we have been able to set up systems which can measure parameters like currents, like air temperature, like sea temperature, like sea level, and transmitting the information in real time. Two major such observing stations that we have running currently is the one in Porto Mazo, which forms part of a network called the MedGLOSS sea level network, and there we measure regularly sea level mainly, but we also measure meteorological parameters with it and sea temperature. And we are intending to now upgrade the system within this international effort for tsunami detection, which is very interesting. In fact, IOI is hosting an interesting local seminar on the 6th of November, typically on this subject. But the Physical Oceanography Unit is already doing this kind of work. Sea level is also important for climate change studies and a lot of things. In fact, we've started this activity. Basically, the Physical Oceanography Unit, if we want to look a bit at its history, started with sea level measurements. Actually, that was my PhD, and therefore that is how it started. And now we have a long, let's say, not sufficiently long, but for our standards, quite a long time series of sea level data, which is very useful for our climate change studies, for example.
Does Malta, in the context of this monitoring and these studies, does the fact that we are positioned where we are, is this an advantage for us? Is there interesting data that can be taken from because we are in this particular position in the Mediterranean? Is it useful within the Mediterranean context or nowadays does it make any difference?
The answer is yes and no. Yes, in the sense that oceanographically speaking, that is from the point of view of the kind of sea bathymetry, sea depth that is around the particular characteristics. I mean, if you were to dry out all the sea water, you know, there would be mountains, cliffs, and similar structures like we see on land. And in particular, Malta is situated in a very interesting position in that sense, not because it's in the center of the Mediterranean, but because it's at the edge of a continental shelf, or which is like a plateau, which joins the coast of Sicily southward. So south of Sicily, the sea is not very deep, just about 100 meters. But then it deepens abruptly further down. And Malta is at the tip of this shelf, the continental shelf. And this makes Malta in a very interesting position to study some interesting physical processes. But when we come to speak about operational oceanography, measurements that are used for fisheries, for search and rescue, for pollution combating, for all these kind of applications that we want to service, this is needed everywhere. It's not just in Malta. So this is why I said yes and no. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is important to have this kind of measurements all through the Mediterranean. And in fact, if I give the example of meteorology, how can we do the forecasts? Basically, by sharing data between a country and another. You know, every country has its own Met offices. We have only one, but many other countries have several Met offices making measurements. And the key about this is sharing of data between these Met offices so that they can all together produce a synoptic view and be able to identify the evolution of the atmospheric systems. Mm.
Our 10-day forecast. Yeah,
just imagine, not having that. I mean, the big customer of meteorology is, of course, the aviation. I mean, you wouldn't be able to fly a plane unless you know the weather, how it's going to evolve. You know. So I mean, this is one example in meteorology where it's become so much entrained into common practices and common activities that it is absolutely necessary. But this is what will happen in the coming years. We're not speaking of 100 years, we're speaking of 5, 6, 7 years from today, where even the data from the oceans will become so much essential in order to make our marine-related activities more efficient, such as, for example, running of shipping routes or optimizing output from wind turbines. And I mean, there are so many applications, and in the future, this is like also when the computer was invented. You know, nobody could anticipate what would be the impact. You know, this is what will happen in oceanography, in Operation Oceanography, in the coming years.
And this was something that interested me when at the beginning you said this is scientific research with a purpose.
Yes.
I think that's really, you're showing, you know, from what you've just said, that everything you're doing at the end of the day is going to be of assistance in all the various areas.
Can you permit me to give an example? So that the audience can also understand better. For example, last Tuesday, people will have heard on the news that the Malta Maritime Authority made an important exercise at sea in order to train personnel to be ready and have an adequate response to an eventual oil spill that we may have in our coastal waters. And of course, in order to be able to do this kind of job, it is very important to know the conditions of the sea and of the atmosphere, how it will evolve during the operations, but also very important, having some idea, and this can be done through oil spill modeling, where would an oil spill move in the future time, in the next hours? No, because, of course, if it's going to move east, you have to take provisions and response in that direction. And even that direction, there are important resources, or even that direction is going to eventually hit the coast. So if you have these kind of tools, which can alert you and which can provide you with an anticipation of how things will evolve in the coming hours, that is a very great, important tool. And in fact, during the exercise, our role, the role of the Physical Oceanography Unit, was specifically to do this kind of job. We provided them with oil spill modeling. They had an oil spill in a specific position, and we were telling them, look, this will evolve and move in this direction, concentrations will change in this way, this part of the coast will be hit, this one not, and they were therefore able to use our predictions in order to have a more adequate response. This is one example, only one of the many examples, in which operational oceanography can be put to use.
Before continuing perhaps to talk about projects that you've been working on, I'd just like to remind listeners that I'm Patricia Camilleri and I'm talking to Dr. Aldo Drago from the Physical Oceanography Unit at the IOI Malta Operational Centre here in Malta. About the networks, Dr. Drago, as you're saying, the importance of connections is really paramount in this particular area. What are the projects you've been working on lately?
Well, actually, the Physical Oceanography Unit is mainly supported through the participation of research projects. And we've been participating in very important projects, mainly funded by Europe, but also in others, since 1996, 1997, when we were not even yet partners in the framework program of the European Union at that time. And at that time, we started by being subcontracted. But this has served us a lot for our capacity building, and has served us a lot to increase our knowledge, and to also mainly to be part of international networks that have now evolved and are now doing the real job. So this has been very crucial, because now we find ourselves to be in the team of in this international team of players who are really doing the job of implementing operational oceanography in the various areas and branches and trends. Speaking about projects, I do not have the time to speak about all the projects that we participate in, but in particular I would like to mention the Sea DataNet project. This is an FP6 project, 5-year project in fact. We're already in its third year. Sea DataNet stands for a Pan-European Infrastructure for Ocean and Marine Data Management. And I consider this to be one of a very important initiatives that Europe is taking. And the European Union have funded this project intensively. The idea is to develop an oceanographic data and information management infrastructure in Europe. Let me explain what this is all about, even a bit in simpler terms. But okay, countries are measuring making measurements, making observations, acquiring data about the sea in all its aspects, chemical, physical, biological. So it's not just physics here that we're concerned with, but it's more the ecosystem as a whole. So all kinds of measurements related to the sea and all kinds of projects related to the sea. And data is collected initially, in some cases, at the level of an institute or at the level of a department. We take, for example, the University of Malta, Department of Biology, our own unit. But also in Malta, there are other entities who are doing measurements, not necessarily for research, but also perhaps measurements for monitoring. But all these data have to be pooled together. They cannot remain separate. The value is to make this data available as a whole. Then, besides the country level, there are other countries who are doing these similar data acquisition in their own territories, of course. Some countries can also permit doing measurements in other areas besides their own territory. So the need is that all this information is put together, not only on a national scale, that is already a big effort, and we have been trying to do this from the Physical Oceanography Unit, but also to put all the data and information together on a European scale. And this is the target of SeaDataNet. SeaDataNet has, I do not remember how many partners there are, but it's a great number of partners.
Must be enormous.
It's very close to 50.
Gosh.
So there are many institutes from all the countries in Europe, and to some extent also from non-EU Mediterranean countries. And the effort is to build a virtual ocean data center. Okay, every country has at least one data center But the idea is to have a sort of web structure, like where data is pooled together, and the user who comes in from anywhere in the world can look at data coming from various sources. This will be seamless to the user. The user will not know how complicated is this distributed system. But at the end, the users will be able to get hold of data very quickly and browse and look at data acquired by and coming from many sources, but at the same time put together and compiled in one system.
When you've got a web structure like that, you've got sort of the back end part of it, which is what needs to be developed.
Fact,
and the front end is really the nice bit sort of for the user to use.
At the end, this is not yet done. We're, as I said, roughly halfway through. But let me say that before SeaDataNet, there were two previous projects which have led to this. So the effort has not yet, didn't start with SeaDataNet, it started much earlier. Within SeaDataNet now, we're developing the tools and the structures. For example, let me say, we need to have a common vocabulary, for example. If we have a parameter which we need to put together, you cannot call temperature TEMP and another one calling it TMP. It's a simple example to tell you. So we need to have standards between us, and these have to be established. Then methods on how to exchange data and how to also put into the system new data, because this is not dealing with data which already exists, but this system will have to also cope for new data, for fresh data, which will continue to come in on a daily basis. So there are a lot of complications within it. And this effort, of course, is taking a lot of expertise from many people that are involved. And I'm proud to say that the Physical Oceanography Unit is also acting nationally as the repository of oceanographic data. So we also have a role of trying to locate data, even old data, so that we can track and keep track of it. It's like having a library, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Library, many books, different categories, different themes. You need to organize it, but you also need to keep it up to date with new publications.
Mm. You but need also, to archive, but also
archive. Archival is also the word we use. Archival of data, archival and management of data. And CDataNet is also taking that into account. Here in Malta, the Physical Oceanography Unit has already done a lot of work, and this is why we're partners in this initiative. In fact, if you look at our website, in the recent years, we set up the Malta Blue Pages. The Malta Blue Pages is like a directory, and it leads you to knowledge on the existing data sets. It does not allow you to access the data itself. This is the target we want to have in the future, but that is rather complicated because there are data policy issues there. But it gives you access to what we call metadata. Metadata is information on the data set. It's like information on a book. It tells you the author, it tells you the publishing house, it gives you an abstract of the book. Same with a data set. It has also its own metadata, which consists of a description of what it is about, when it was measured, how it was measured, which instruments were used, what kind of quality control has been undertaken, these kind of things. And the Malta Blue Pages gives the user, it can be visited again through our website, gives the user access to local data, to local metadata that have been submitted to us. We know that there are a lot more data that have to be included into this. But so far the issue has been on a best effort, and also on the basis of sources being ready to submit their data descriptions. The more people who have this kind of data comply and support this initiative, the more, of course, the Malta Blue Pages can evolve and become really, really useful. But the structure is there, and it will evolve within CDataNet to be part of this pan-European initiative.
And locally, I suppose, also it would help not to duplicate work as well, so that it's like looking like for a literature review, so you know what's already been done and what is being done, even if you're not actually getting at the information itself.
Yeah, yeah. Also, for example, the way that people keep the data, because data can be kept in different forms. Some people keep their data as an Excel data sheet, for example. But of course, there are many other forms. In fact, Excel data formats are not accepted for international exchange. There are more sophisticated methods of exchanging data, especially when you're dealing with megabytes and gigabytes of data. Sometimes it's not just a few numbers, you know. But the main important thing is that even on a national scale, we need to establish a system which favors the exchange of data, and I must say that we have still a lot of way ahead of us for this.
So you've got your work cut out for you, Dr. Driver. Thank you so much.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.